There was an old lady who swallowed a bird. How absurd to swallow a bird! She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die.
That's a novel idea. You implant an animal with poison that doesn't kill them, but when they're preyed upon, it kills the predator. And in this case, cats, feral cats of Australia. The animal that science is hoping to save from extinction is the bilby. It's an iconic native Australian marsupial. It has a long pointed snout, long skinny ears and soft grey fur. And bilbies were once plentiful in Australia, but they're now under threat from the estimated 6.3 million feral cats that are roaming the continent. So in order to save the marsupial, this groundbreaking trial has begun with 30 bilbies. They've been injected with a tiny little implant that sits just beneath the skin, and it's toxic to cats. Unfortunately, the bilby has to be eaten by the cat in order for the chain of events to occur. Well, the implant was the brainchild of Kyle Brewer from the University of South Australia, and Kyle joins us now. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Did the nursery rhyme provide any inspiration for this idea?
Definitely not. And I have to say the idea itself was actually put forward by an ecologist by the name of David Peacock about 25 years ago. So it's an idea that's been out in the space for quite some time.
In Australia? Is he an Australian?
Yes, an Australian ecologist.
In order to save the bilby or just generally to save wildlife?
Just generally, particularly to increase the success of reintroduction programs that were really one of the major tools that we used to increase the population sizes of those vulnerable or threatened species.
The greater bilby, it's classed as vulnerable. That's the word you use. It's a vulnerable species by the World Wildlife Fund, and it's under threat from feral cats. What's caused this explosion of feral cats?
I think predominantly it's just the abundance of prey. So feral cats are present virtually over the entirety of the Australian continent, and across the Australian continent, we have a wide variety of species that are essentially the perfect size, perfect meal size for feral cats. So they basically have free rein and don't really have any competing predators. So they're able to just completely wipe out those native species.
And this coincided, we've saw a lot of those pictures of that mouse plague.
Yes, exactly. That's actually one of the difficulties we've had with the trial recently, in that in the reserve where we have the bilbies and the feral cats, there's now also an abundance of mice. And that's something that we think is actually playing a part in the trial as it's unfolding.
Well, let's talk about this implant. It's like a microchip. It's rice-sized, I believe, but it's filled with poison. How does it work?
So you've described it perfectly. It's about the size of a grain of rice, and it's actually virtually the same size and shape as a microchip that a vet would put in a pet dog or, coincidentally, a pet cat. And that rice-shaped implant has a protective coating around it, and that's the crux of my work during my PhD. I've developed this particular protective coating, and this coating stops the poison from leaking out when it's under the skin of a native mammal, which enables us to implant it directly under the skin. But if that mammal is eaten by a feral cat, the implant ends up in the cat's stomach, where the stomach acid actually rapidly dissolves the coating, which releases the poison that it was containing. And that obviously causes the death of the feral cat quite rapidly.
The poison you're using is very controversial here in New Zealand. It's 1080, isn't it?
Yes, spot on.
Why doesn't it kill the bilby? Is it because of that coating?
Yeah, two reasons for that. The first reason is the coating is specifically designed to be stable under the skin and to prevent breakage under the skin, so that protects the bilby in the first instance. So the second reason is because 1080 occurs naturally in some plants in Australia, predominantly in Western Australia, many of our native species have actually built up quite a high tolerance to 1080, and the bilby is a prime example of that. It's actually approximately 15 times less sensitive to 1080 than a feral cat is. So for a bilby to have any negative effects from an implant, it would actually have to have something around 5 implants to actually break and poison the bilby and cause an ill effect. But of course, we only have one implant per bilby, and that's sufficient to kill a feral cat. So it poses very little risk to to an individual bilby.
Well, feral cats obviously can't help being feral cats. And from what we hear, that 1080's quite pretty horrible death.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's something we can't... how can I describe that? It's a tough question, Karen. I haven't been asked that one yet.
Have you thought about it when you were what poison to use, or is that the best poison to use?
There is some contention around the use of 1080, and obviously you guys experienced that in New Zealand. We have the same sort of experience in Australia to an extent. But one of the main things you have to focus on is what are the best tools that we have available to us, and unfortunately, there aren't a large number of tools that we can use to control feral cats. 1080 is actually a really good one, especially in Australia where we have such high tolerance down native species, so we can use it to essentially selectively target feral cats, which is a major advantage. But we have to understand that in the event that there was a better option available, it's something that we would have to transition to.
Well, so 30 bilbies are only going to kill 30 cats, so the bilbies are vastly outnumbered, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. So that comes to an important point when we look at the concept of the implants and how we intend to use them. So generally speaking, we've had a lot of native experiences in terms of reintroduction programs in Australia, where oftentimes we'll have native mammals, and as an example, our 30 bilbies reintroduced into a reintroduction area. And oftentimes we have only one or two feral cats actually invading that area, preying upon the native mammals and potentially our bilbies and completely wiping them out. And that can occur in a matter of weeks or months, and generally appears to happen around the first year of the reintroduction. So in that context, where we predominantly want to use the implants, you would actually have quite an imbalance of the number of bilbies versus the number of cats. And that would enable us to take out those two feral cats, and we would have our 28 bilbies remaining, and that would be a protected population that can then thrive.
I see. Are other animals likely to eat the cats and also die?
I think it's quite unlikely because we don't have in Australia carnivorous animals that are large enough that they would, prey upon a cat. But if the cat had died, there may be some sort of scavenging species that could consume the animal. But the good thing is, when we think about some of the species that might behave in that way, a good example comes to mind, and that's the wedge-tailed eagle. That's a large bird of prey that might scavenge upon a dead cat. But they have a similarly high tolerance to 1080 as bilbies. It's actually that they're slightly more tolerant. So for a wedge-tailed eagle to have any ill effects from 1080, it would actually have to eat the equivalent of 5 implants worth of 1080, which would potentially mean consuming 5 feral cats and in quick succession. And generally that is just quite unlikely and simply wouldn't happen in the wild.
That bilby is a very cute little marsupial, isn't it?
Definitely. That's absolutely adorable.
Yeah. Mascot for Australia.
I think it'd be in with a good chance.
Very good. This is the population protecting implants. And is this an experiment, or is it something that is likely to go into wider use?
Well, it's still in development. So the field trial that we currently have the implants in, that's really going to be our sort of proof of concept, where we can have essentially a real-world example of the implants being in use and hopefully being effective. And that will inform how we continue to develop the implants. And ideally, it'll be something that we can then incorporate into reintroduction programs across Australia.
Well, Kyle, thank you for joining us tonight.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.